Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee. Joining me again today is Madison Peters, the Vice President of the Great River Economic Development Foundation. And there's so much happening, but the first on the agenda is the Grow Housing Program. Welcome, Madison.
Thank you. Thank you. We're very excited.
It is exciting. You know, one of the things that we just can't seem to solve, we're doing great. I'm driving around town. I'm seeing a lot of great progress on our housing situation, but we're such at a deficit that, you know, it's kind of like eggs. Okay, they're not $10 a dozen anymore, but they're still six.
Yeah.
When are they going to be back to the 99-cent special? So the good news is Gretif is doing something about it, and you have a program called Grow. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you because you're the expert on this. We ran a news story on it. It's a little bit complex. So listen up, folks, because this could be a way for you to get $20,000 to help you improve housing. So take it away, please.
Yeah, we were excited to partner with the Adams County Board to roll out round two of the Adams County Grow Program. And if we kind of do some time traveling, in 2023, Gretif conducted a housing study that really just showed the need for single family homes and affordable housing. And that is what this program is doing. So there applications are open. You can find them on the Gretif website, and there is about $360,000 available for people to develop new developments or to construct, redo some of the housing that's already in Quincy.
Now, it's called a $20,000 non-repayment loan.
Yes.
Non-repayment loan. I've never been able to get one of those from the
no.
bank. Now, obviously, there's some very tight criteria, but really it's just a grant because, I'm sorry, a non-repayment loan
yes.
isn't really a loan. A loan implies, I've watched Judge Judy
yeah.
enough to know that a loan implies you're going to pay it back. But this is a way to actually get $20,000 free of charge, but there's always a but there are some things
yes.
you have to do, some hoops you have to jump to, but a lot of people would jump pretty high for 20 grand.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know the application can be a little bit complicated and daunting. So we are hosting two trainings, one on April 15th and then one on May 5th on Zoom. So we can walk you through the application process and really dive into all that and answer your questions.
Okay. So it's for people who, it's not for me to fix up my house.
No.
You have to be renting it or selling it, I guess, to a single family
Correct.
Or a rental, like a landlord situation. And heaven knows that we have some rental properties that are in desperate need for an upgrade. So does that mm-hmm. count for this?
Yes, uninhabitable. So you cannot be living in them. No one can be living in them to qualify. So
okay, so folks out there who have property and it's just not up to snuff, mm-hmm. this $20,000 won't do it all.
Right.
But it will get it started and get it rolling. And then it has to be affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're not trying to build the Taj Mahal. So the good news is, because you can't with $20,000, but a lot of people out there have participated already in the first phase of this.
Yes.
What
yeah.
kind of success have you seen from that?
Yeah, we were excited. We had 57 new housing units built in 2024. So we are really hoping to knock that out of the park again this year.
57 new
yes.
housing units. And those were
all throughout Adams County. So it's not even just the city limits.
Right.
Which I think is exciting as well.
So these were 57 places where people are living now that they couldn't live 2 years ago because they weren't
correct. Yeah.
Either they weren't there or they were not inhabitable.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And this all comes from the ARPA money, the
correct.
COVID money. This is one of the long-term ways that Adams County decided to spend its money, partnering with Gretif, mm-hmm. needing some expertise on how to get this all done. So these 57 units, have you gotten any feedback from the landlords? Did they feel after they put all this effort in that it was worthwhile? Did they say maybe it should have been bigger? Are they coming and applying again? Is there a limit to how many they can do?
They can reapply. Yeah, I think our developers are excited that this opportunity was available. Obviously, they're always, you know, wanting more, but this is just an extra bonus to help them and support them and their efforts. We know they're the housing need, and this is just one way to support that effort.
So the first round did 57 new housing units. Obviously, $20,000 is the maximum you can grant, or non-repayable loan. And so it's hard for me to do math, but 20 goes into 36. Will there be 18 new homes? Is that what you're saying? 18 new units?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Good job on math.
Golly gee.
A-plus today.
Right now, as we sit here today, once you get this off the ground, the applications are due by June 17th. They'll probably start as soon as they get approved. So they'll start this construction season. These 18 new residences could be ready for occupation, you know, by Christmas, I guess.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. So, the Adams County Board won't start reviewing the applications until after June 17th. And then we'll try to get them the money as quick as possible.
Okay.
They'll get it after the process is done.
Right. And then they'll be ready to start, because everybody that's got property that's not making them any money is always happy to get going.
Exactly.
This helps in so many ways. Obviously, it helps housing. But number two, all of these contractors and landlords are going to have to buy building supplies. So that further boosts our economy.
Yes.
And then the people who are living in these 57 units now and 18 units soon within a year, those people are probably employed here in our area. So they're able to maintain the job stability. We know that job stability is something Gretif has been working towards as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And just trying to continue to support the people that are living here and then working in our communities. It all goes hand in hand.
Well, if you've been intrigued, the first training is April 15th at the Oakley Lindsay Center at 4 p.m., kind of at the end of the day, so you don't have to break up the middle of your workday, because we know that people in real estate are busy all the time. $360,000 up for grabs. And if you've got an uninhabitable structure, you can be part of this. The GROW program incentive is, $20,000. Obviously, you're going to have to put your own sweat equity and a labor into that and buy some more materials than that $20,000. But if we can get more homes back up online, this is absolutely fantastic. For more information, Madison Peters at Gretif. You can call her at 223-4313 or go on the website to learn more. And if you really want to know everything, just come April 15th. Invest about an hour of your time, and you'll find out real quick what's happening.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they'll probably have the names of some of the landlords, 57 that participated. Some of them will be there again.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, if you give me $20,000 once, guess what? I'll come back and ask for another $20,000. So the GROW Housing Initiative is really huge. I also want to talk about something that Gretif started years ago, the concierge program. If anybody's traveled and you go to a nice hotel, even if you go to a not nice hotel like me, you can go up to the front desk and say, hey, I need a recommendation on a place to eat. I need a recommendation for something to do tomorrow while my husband's at a business meeting. The concierge is kind of the person who's supposed to make your visit very welcoming and warm. Well, the Gretif concierge wants to make your new home welcoming and warm. These aren't people who are visiting Quincy. These are people who are moving to Quincy. And we all know that if the trailing spouse isn't happy with the new town, the trailing spouse isn't going to want to stay.
No.
So talk a little bit about the concierge program, how it has been successful, and if you need any more volunteers or what you need to continue to make it successful.
Yeah, so the Quincy Concierge Program is really designed to be a resource for our employees in Adams County. We will welcome them, send them a welcome packet filled with information and resources about Quincy and important contacts for them to really make sure they're successful here in the community. We host quarterly events, and it's a chance for our newcomers to meet other people. We have community experts or guides that are the people that are there to help you really get to know the community, not just from myself. So that's an awesome thing. We put together baskets filled with local goodies for new employees to kind of help them welcome them, see what other shops are in the community. So we're here to be a resource for your new employees.
Okay, so new employees, people that are coming, they want to welcome the whole family in. And that's what the concierge program is all about. Now, obviously, you've picked people who are Quincy veterans, who are well connected, who have a variety of skills. You know, if you asked me to help, I'd tell you all about the great theater programs and stuff like that, but I wouldn't know much about where to get my kids' shoes or something like that, because that's not my wheelhouse. So who are these concierge helpers, and do you need more?
Yeah, so right now we're all full, but our community experts are people from all different parts. You know, we have people in the nonprofit world, we have people in the manufacturing, all sorts. But and we also have a few newcomers that have turned to Quincy residents and that really invested into the community, and we have them as well as on guides.
Because sometimes the people that moved here most recently have a better perspective,
yes,
of these were the things I tried that weren't so successful, but here where I go and I found my people, as
yes,
we call them.
Yes.
This was my person. You know, you hear stories all the time. I just heard one, you know, last Thursday night at the American Business Women's Association. You know, you basically walk into an event and suddenly you sit down and you start talking to somebody, and then their girlfriend comes over, and so you meet them. Now you know two people. The next thing you know, they're taken off to go to Hairball, put on by our radio station down at the Oakley Lindsay Center. She's, I'm with two people I have never met before in my life at the Headbangers Ball. You know? And she said, and now we're friends.
Yeah.
And these people have helped me navigate, you know, the best grocery store, the best church, whatever.
Mm-hmm,
we all, you know, the places to shop, the fun weekends away from Quincy when you have to get away. So this concierge program is really all in one encompassing, just welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes, and because we realize your employees need a life outside of work, and that's what we're here to do.
Okay. GREDF is so important, the Great River Economic Development Foundation, everything you do, including the Grow Housing Program. So many people still struggle to, though, understand what GREDF is. You're not a city government agency.
No.
You're not a state agency. You are funded by our local governments, give you funding. You have memberships and private sector that funds you. So how would you describe to the person who says, I hear about GREDF, but I just don't get, what is the Great River Economic Development Foundation? What is it they do?
I know, it is a hard thing. We get questions all the time, but I like to say we are connectors. When we are doing our best work, we are connecting our developers, our people of the community, our workforce, and our employers to the resources that are out there. We can connect developers with the city and state programs. We can connect our employers with workforce programs that really will help equip them to be successful. We're an advocate for them, and you know, we have our fingers in a lot of pots, so don't be afraid to ask.
Well, like she said, she's an advocate, and one of the things employers have said is get us some places for our people to live.
Yes.
We cannot get enough people to come to Quincy to work here because we don't have any housing. So 57 units came online this past year, and 18 more will be online by this time next year. And come on April 15th at 4 o'clock and learn all about how you can get a $20,000 non-repayable loan, which I call a grant. And I'm going to come and learn if I can get one from my bank, a non-repayable loan, because so far every time I talk to Jim Obert at First Bankers Trust about that, he said, no, we don't offer that program. Go to GREDF. Okay. It's been delightful having you here today. Thank you so very much. And we look forward, of course, it's always the first Monday of every month when GREDF stops by. So we'll have even more things to talk about next month. Thank you so
Sounds
much.
Sounds good. Thank you.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the Quincy Symphony Orchestra. So stay tuned. Well, the sad news is, folks, that sold out. After I told you to buy your tickets, guess what? United We Feud is a big success. They are sold out. So don't try to get to go to the United We Feud. Although, you know, I guess, you know, if you stood standby, they might have a no-show. But it is so great to see that event sell out at the Washington Theater. So the United Way is making great progress in our community. Jane Paulette is here to talk about another great progress, much, much older, almost as old as the United Way and the Washington Theater, the Quincy Symphony Orchestra, Saturday afternoon, 2:30, American Horizons at the Quincy Junior High School Morrison Auditorium, A Salute to American Composers, Copeland's The Tender Land Suite. including the Love Duet, Square Dance, which we all love, and The Promise of Living. And something even extra special will be Tony Taylor from Tiger Imagery. So, Jane, welcome to the Mary Griffith Show.
Well, thank you so much for having me this morning.
This is so exciting. Tony Taylor, I can sing her praises. She came on a senior, she's not a senior, but she was with somebody. I can't remember who she was with. She was on a senior citizen bus trip that my husband and I took 13 years ago to Washington, D.C. And every time we stopped somewhere, she'd be out with her camera snapping pictures. And she took just a few little impromptu shots of my husband and I. And they're some of the best photography. Forget sitting in a studio and having all this special lighting. She's just magical.
I don't know where she gets her talent. It's just innate.
It is innate and developed from God and developed by her. But she is so good at outdoor photography. And since we're having American composers, and since we have this big screen TV projection thing now, why not use it for the Quincy Symphony? So talk a little bit about how Tiger Imagery from Tony Taylor is going to complement what the symphony is doing this Saturday.
Well, the way we found out about Tony was back in 2015, we were doing a season called Explorations, and we always feature an artist every year on our materials, and we thought, well, who do we know of in the community that could match Explorations theme? And we thought of her because her photography is so all-encompassing. Like, the picture we used was a road leading off into the distance, you know, and it was just perfect for the Explorations. But then the other picture we used was the Mississippi and the going down the Mississippi to who knows where, you know, discovery. So we loved her from that time. That's when I knew about her, but other people knew about her from far before that. And so when we decided to do this American theme concert, we knew we wanted to do the Tenderland Suite, which is very American sounding. Like, it has kind of quintessential American sounds, birds chirping, I mean, whatever. It makes the orchestra sound like the countryside. And so we thought, you know, Tony's pictures of our area, of Quincy, and of our rural area, of our farmland, of our forest areas, of our parks, you know, that's all the perfect scenery to have on the big screen with this music. So we asked her to make a presentation to go along with it, and she's got a wonderful presentation. I've now seen it a couple of times. We've worked on it. It's got like 50 different of her best photos, from all the way from the fireworks out at the Veterans Home to John Wood Mansion to the bridge to multiple bridges from our area to the park walls, amazing sunsets, even Main Street. I mean, I hate to be like, I don't want to like tell you all the secrets, but I mean, it's just a phenomenal look at what's all around us all the time that we don't necessarily see the beauty in, and she just captures it in her photographs.
She is phenomenal, and Tiger Imagery and Tony Taylor. And the great thing about it is, yes, the symphony is always pleasure for our ears. And I enjoy watching the conductor. I enjoy watching the big bass fiddle. I enjoy watching the timpani. The symphony itself is enough to look at. But now we can take our minds and look up at the projection screen above the symphony and maybe ignore them for just a minute, Listen with our ears to their beautiful sounds, and feast our eyes on the complementary photography that goes along, that tells a story that each of us will interpret in our own way. And that is one thing that is so beautiful about, you know, Copland in specific and American composers in general. When you do a work of art, even when you see Tony's photography, you're going to interpret it in your own way. You've either seen it and say, oh, I've never seen it like that. Or you've never seen that and you're going to say, I wonder where that is. That evokes in me a sense that I want to go there, or that invokes a sense of longing or feel whatever, sadness, joy. Art is truly art, And the symphony is expanding to the visual arts with this.
Right, and Aaron Copland had this way of somehow sounding American with his music. So the whole second half of the concert is Aaron Copland music. So the whole concert isn't the big screen. That's only about 15 minutes of the concert.
Right.
But the Tenderland was an opera that he wrote back in the 1940s. And he was specifically trying to sound like the Midwest. The story is about a Midwest farm family. And so the sounds and the motives that he used in his music were to evoke this kind of countryside, gorgeous, our beautiful rural area in sound. And then she's doing that in pictures. And then together the two things come together for about 15 minutes of the concert.
It's going to be great. Now, in addition to that, Rodeo will also be part of it. And I guess we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, Jane Paulette's just going to run down the entire the list of acts and the list of things that are happening. Plus, we have a very special guest artist. So we'll get to all that, but first, let's take a break and head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. It's 9:42, and we want to see how the farm markets are doing today. 47 degrees as we head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. How do those farm markets look today?
Good morning. Corn for May is up 1 at 461. July, they're up at 467. Soybeans for May is up 10 at 987. July, they're up 9 at 1002. Wheat for May is up 11 at 540. July, they're up 10 at 553. Soybean meal for May is up 4 at 287. Lean hogs for May is at 85.12. Feeder cattle for May is down 1 at 273.47. Live cattle for April is down 1 at 201.50. Crude oil is down at 61.52. And the Dow Jones is down at 812 at 37,718. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Lisa. We're back with our guest, Jane Paulette from the Quincy Symphony Orchestra. She's the general manager, and in addition to playing in the symphony, she has to keep all the balls in the air and get the guest artist scheduled, make sure they have a place to stay, make sure that if they need a special piece for the symphony that they get it, because not every piece of symphonic instrumentation is available just at the drop of the hat. So you've got a big job. And this a concert, which is coming up again this Saturday, April 12th at 2:30 at Quincy Junior High, the Salute to American Composers. Let's just run down and talk about, first of all, let's talk about the guest artist. And then we'll kind of go in chronological order after that about what we're going to hear. Because this is a jam-packed concert. This is good.
Act. You're right. We always do this to ourselves. We wait until the final concert of the season, and then we just like pull out all the stops, and then we're like, what on earth were we thinking? But we have a lot going on in this concert. So the soloist that we have coming is Thomas Joslian, and he is the principal horn player of the St. Louis Symphony. Now that is saying a lot. You know, there's only a handful of really big orchestras in the United States. And to be the principal horn of one of those orchestras, you're one of the probably top 5 or 10 in the whole country players. And he's coming to Quincy to play for us. So that's really amazing in itself. And the other thing is that he's playing a piece by Randall Faust, who's a professor at Western Illinois University, who wrote this piece for the horn and wind ensemble, and then he's reorchestrated it or re-edited it into an orchestra piece. And so for the first time ever, the horn will play with the orchestra this concerto. And the concerto is written as a history of the horn. So it's got four movements, and the first is like back when horns had no valves. So it's got techniques that the horn would use with no valves, like you use your hand in there and make different sounds. Then each movement of the four movements takes advantage of the things that happened to the horn as it developed. It got valves, it changed materials, things like that. And there's all kinds of different techniques that horns use that you're going to see all of them played by a virtuoso performer. So that's really fantastic. And Randall Faust will also be at the concert because we're celebrating American composers.
Wow, that is great. I'm sure he'll. I hope he stands up and takes his bow.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, you talk about the succession of horns. You know, you look at like a French horn, an English horn, a trumpet, a trombone. They're all horns, but they all have, I guess, one great 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 grandfather. You know, we ought to do this as your roots. You know, in common. But how this has changed, and then again to have somebody so proficient that they can make all these different sounds. You're right. Getting him to come to Quincy in his busy schedule and as vaunted as he is, that's quite a big pick. And then to have him play a piece from a Western Illinois University professor, that's just fantastic. So, again, the Quincy Symphony doesn't just do other people's works. You often do works that you commission yourself or that are very close to our hearts here in the local area.
Well, one of the complaints from people who maybe aren't as familiar with orchestra concerts as, of course, you or I are, is they would think that, oh, all they do is they play music from 300 years ago. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go and I'm just going to sleep. But the Quincy Symphony's had a real emphasis, really, since our new director, but in 2007, since our director came in 2007, but even before that, with George Irwin and others, of commissioning brand new orchestral works for the orchestra. And we've actually had 21 new works in the last 20 years. So we have the composers, usually in the April concert is when we debut these pieces. We have a brand new piece by another Western Illinois professor, just happens, is James Romig, and that piece is going to be totally different from the Horn Concerto. It's like a soundscape. It's about 10 minutes long, and it's called Resolve, and there's just that word. If you think about that resolve, you can have dissonance or contrast that resolve into beautiful sounds. I always think about when I first heard the piece, I thought about the THX thing and the movies where it comes in and goes, and it's like this really conflicting sound, and then all of a sudden, this beautiful chord comes out that's so beautiful. This is what this piece will be. It will be like every single note, according to the composer, James, every single note is to be played exactly as you have written on the paper to the exact duration, exact dynamic, exact decrescendo, different from the other sections. And so what it comes together with is really interesting sounds. And it's about 10 minutes long, but it's a totally different style from like the opening concert, which is by a different composer who's also at the concert, Jeremy Beck. So it's just a concert full of contrasts and very interesting, and we'll have three composers there for the three songs that they composed.
That is fantastic. Three composers there. We're going to take a break. We come back, our remaining moments with Jane Paulette, the Quincy Symphony. And this is going to be Saturday, April 12th, American Horizons, Copeland's Tenderland Suite. We'll also hear Rodeo. We're just going to have it all, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Jane and I get so excited during the commercial breaks talking about all the great things that are happening with the symphony. This is your last concert of this season, right?
Well, except on May 10th, we're doing the City of Refuge for the Adams County Bicentennial.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We'll talk about that if we have time. Nathan Seaman's going to be on my show here coming up. And May 10th, mark your calendars, folks. Do not miss this. But this is the last regularly scheduled symphony concert, and it is, again, Saturday, April 12th. It's starting at 2:30, a little bit different time start, but that's okay, at Junior High Morrison Theater. I like that time start because I can make it to church without running in while the choir's singing.
See, so we listen.
We listen. I think people probably did say, could you do it just a little bit earlier? We'd really appreciate it. So that was good. I didn't even complain, and yet my complaints were heard. What is that? So talk a little bit more about the rest of the schedule, because, my gosh, what you've done already with three composers coming is enough, but wait, there's more. It's like the Bass-O-Matic.
I know. Well, the very first piece on the concert is called Majestic River, and that's by Jeremy Beck. He's also a regional composer, and he wrote that for us in 2008, and it is all about, of course, the Mississippi River. So it's trying to make you think about the Mississippi as you listen to this music. So he talks about how there's turbulent areas, there's smooth areas, there's sudden curves and twists, and that's how the music describes the river. So that's going to be the start, and that's full of energy and beautiful. Then we have Resolve by James Romig that I mentioned, the soundscape, followed by the Horn Concerto by Randall Faust and with our special soloist Thomas Joslian. Then we have an intermission, and then when we come back we have Tony Taylor's amazing photography, followed by the dance episode from the ballet called Rodeo that Copeland wrote. And that has Buckaroo Holiday and the Hoedown and the Saturday Night Waltz. It's just full of Americana and nostalgia. And we'll leave everybody walking out with their toes tapping. We end with the Hoedown. And if you don't know, modern audiences know it as beef. It's what's for dinner. You know, the that famous commercial backdrop. So that's going to be a fantastic and fun way to end the concert. I also wanted to mention that I think I mentioned earlier that Tony Taylor was one of our artists over the years. Every year we feature an artist on our materials. We have a season brochure and a booklet that we have at every concert. So we feature an artist. And one year we featured Tony as a photographer. This year we featured Caroline Goldsmith. She's a watercolor artist. We featured two of her paintings, one for the brochure and one for our booklet. And she's coming to the concert as well. We're going to have an art exhibit and sale in the halls of the junior high school. So if you love to see her art, even just come and browse it. You don't have to buy anything. She's also going to be a secret. I shouldn't tell a secret on the radio, but a secret is she's going to be in the auditorium painting during the concert, but it's not up in front of everybody. It's going to be inspired by the music, but she's going to be in kind of a dark area, a little dark corner painting during the concert. So I don't know if she's going to sell that piece, but maybe she is. So
wow, that would be great. You know, I experienced this, and this is what her experience was.
That's right.
Well, that it just sounds like it's just going to be fantastic. Tickets are very inexpensive. Tell us about the tickets.
That's right. The tickets, we've tried to keep our tickets very inexpensive over the years. Children 18 and under are free to our concerts. And then adults are $18 per ticket, and other senior citizens are $15 a ticket. So there's a discount for seniors. And you can buy your ticket right at the door, or you can go online to our website, which is qsoa.org. and purchase your ticket in advance, and then you can just pick it up at the will call table there.
The great thing about it is you buy a ticket for you and your spouse or you and your friend, and you can bring your children free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the littlest ones will enjoy this. We always say just sit in the back if you have to, and if the little ones get too rambunctious, they can go out, run down the hall of the Quincy Junior High for 2 seconds, come back, and they'll get their wiggles out.
Right.
And the intermission's also a good time for them to get their wiggles out. But this is really, you know, a great way to introduce the teenage crowd. You know, a lot of times teenagers don't want to do things with their parents. And you can take them there. They don't have to sit with you necessarily. You know where they are. Make sure they're in front of you. You can observe them. You know, this is things that we tried to do when I was taking my godchildren places. They didn't want to necessarily be seen with their creepy godmother, but, you know, I wanted them to experience this. So we would sit an appropriate distance apart that they felt like they were all grown up there. You know, this is good for the 13 and older crowd because
that's right. And
they
I
get
mean,
exposed.
I wouldn't bring your toddler to this particular program, but, you know, 5, 6, 7, a child, you know your child, if they're able to stay quiet. Because there are some very poignant moments, especially in the Copeland, where you really want to have just the silence in the auditorium where you can love the music. So, you know, it's the noise factor is the main thing to watch out for.
Make sure they're not noisy during the performance. You also have a raffle or something there. We've only got about a minute left, when are they going to draw for that?
Yeah, it's the 20th year of our raffle. We try to make $10,000 every year from this raffle, and we have the $1,000 final drawing is at the concert at the end of intermission. So you can buy a ticket for $10 right there at the concert. We also have our encore ladies selling refreshments at intermission. They're actually just taking donations for those. So if you forget your money, you can still have a cookie, but the donations are for music, youth music education, which is the main focus of our Encore volunteers. And so anything they raise selling the refreshments will go toward our youth programs.
Okay, it sounds great. Well, I want to tell you, WTAD is a sponsor, and we always get tickets. And I donated tickets to our American Business Women's silent auction, and they went over great. People paid above face value to go to the Quincy Symphony.
All right.
So thank you for contributing to that. We greatly appreciate that. Folks, if you have not been to the symphony in a while, you do not want to miss this concert. It's not old, stodgy, old folky stuff. It is great. 2:30 Saturday afternoon, Quincy Junior High Auditorium, $18 for adults, $15 for seniors. Children are always free, 18 and under.